Welcome to the Salco Prejudice and Awareness Show. We have here today Glenn Chin, a current student at Yale University majoring in Historic Literature, and Danny Kamel, a PhD graduate from USC with a major of Historic Literature, and Aaron O'Brien, a sophomore currently attending South Hills High School. We are here today to talk about prejudice, past and present, and we are going to listen to three different perspectives from two different time periods. First, I will be interviewing Mr. Glenn Chin. Let's give him a warm welcome. So, Glenn, how do you like the book To Kill a Mockingbird?
I thought it was an extremely excellent book.
I agree. Do you think Tom Robinson was really guilty, or was he just charged guilty because of his race?
I believe that he was unfairly trialed because of his race. The evidence clearly points that Tom is innocent. The witnesses for prosecution did not sound accurate.
Very interesting. Why do you think Harper Lee put prejudice as the main theme in this book?
Well, prejudice was very common, especially in the time period she wrote it in. Harper wanted to open the eyes of the readers to show them that everybody should be treated equally, regardless of their age, race, sex, and social standings. There was also racism in the 30s when the book took place, and also in the 60s when the book was written. It also seems that Tom Robinson's case is modeled closely to the Scottsboro trials, which involved 9 African-American men and boys who were convicted of rape and who were poorly treated during their trials. Prejudice in various forms has been going on almost since the beginning of time and is still going on today. That adds to the timeless feel of the book, while still the book is a moment in history.
Out of the other two themes, courage, do you think that prejudice has the most impact in the story?
I believe that prejudice impacted most in the 30s and is still going on today. Prejudice is a bigger issue than courage or growing up, because I believe that prejudice affects everybody, not just a certain group of people. It also sets the stage for the unfair trial and death of Tom Robinson.
Last question before we move on. What do you think about Bob Wall?
Poor country farmers like the Cunninghams lie below the townspeople, and the welfare-reliant Ewells rest below the Cunninghams. But the black community in Macomb, despite its abundance of admirable qualities, squats below even the Ewells, enabling Bob Ewell to make up for his own lack of importance by persecuting Tom Robinson. I despise those kind of people putting down the underclass just to make themselves look and feel better, even though they themselves are horrible people.
That was very informative. Thank you, Glenn, for your time. Now, we are going to bring Dr. Kamel and ask him here about him and his point of views in the 30s.
Okay, hi. Thank you so much for having me here today, Mrs. Arias.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure, Doctor. Now, Doctor, we have some questions to ask you about prejudice and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Ask away.
Do you believe that there is still prejudice going around in the world today?
Yes, I do. And until people realize that everyone is equal, prejudice will still be going on. Prejudice is not as bad as it was before, but it is still a big issue in life.
In the book To Kill a Mockingbird, do you think the way Scout was treated is another form of prejudice?
Yes, I think it is. In page 173, Scout was treated poorly because of her age. Because she is much younger than the other characters, she is treated differently and disrespected by Jem. And I quote, "I think it's okay, Rev. She doesn't understand it." Jem assumes that because Scout is young and not yet well educated, that she doesn't understand what is going on.
Now, Doctor, do you think out of the two themes that prejudice has the most impact in the story?
No, I think growing up has the most impact in the story. Jem grew up throughout the story. He realizes that life is not always fair and learns that most people can't look more than skin deep. I also think that this book theme is the coexistence of good and evil by showing a level of growing up.
Why is that, Doctor?
Well, the novel approaches a question whether people are essentially good or essentially evil by dramatizing Scout and Jem's transition from a perspective of childhood innocence in which they assume that the people are good because they've never seen evil to a more adult perspective in which they have confronted evil and must incorporate it into their understanding of the world. As a result of this portrayal to the transition from innocence to experience, one of the book's important sub-themes involves the threat that hated prejudice and ignorance.
Wow, thank you very much, Doctor, for sharing. Now, our last guest. Welcome, Aaron O'Brien from South Hills High School.
Hello, Mrs. Arias.
Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. And you?
I am great. Now, Aaron, what do you think about this book?
I think it's about how prejudice worked in the 1930s and how African Americans were mistreated because of their ethnicity.
Do you think it is all mostly on racism, or are there other matters we need to be concerned about?
Well, I believe it's about classism, too. Because on page 8, being Southerners, it was a source of shame to some members of the family that we had no recorded ancestors on either side of the Battle of Hastings. All we had was Simon Finch. It says that they were judged on how many dead grandparents were buried on the burial ground located near Maycomb. It's like the more dead people on the ground, the higher you get on the ladder. And it's all about wealth in there, too. Always about public standings and money.
Now, on page 164, that's what I thought, said Jim. But around here, once you have a drop of Negro blood, that makes you all black. What do you think on that passage?
I think it's so unfair. Because why does everything have to end up being, oh gosh, you're a Negro, go away? People judge so much by color that they barely notice it anymore. Like in today, TV is manipulating what our generation should think. Just because you're white doesn't mean you're rich and like a preppy cheerleader. Not all black people can rap. Mexicans are not all gangsters. And Asian people are not all smart. There's serious stereotyping going around all around the world.
That is very sensible. Aaron, what do you think about Boo Radley and his symbol in the book?
I think in the beginning of the book, Boo is merely a source of childhood superstition. As he leaves Jem and Scout presents and mends Jem's pants, he gradually becomes increasingly and fascinatingly real to them. And at the end of the novel, he becomes fully human to Scout, showing that she has grown up into a sympathetic and understanding girl.
Is there any other more social divisions in this book that you would like to point out before this time runs out? As in classism or ageism?
Yes, there is. The rigid social standings that make up so much of the adult world are revealed in the book to be both crazy and harsh. For example, Scout cannot understand why Aunt Alexandra refuses to let her consort with young Walter Cunningham. Lee uses the children's perplexity at the repulsive layering of Maycomb society to analyze the role of class status and ultimately prejudice in human interaction.
Thank you so much for your time, Aaron. Now, thank you for having me.
No, thank you for having me.
Let's give it up to these superb guests. Our time is up. I'll see you guys next week on Fox. Yeah! Thank you.